Okay, good evening, church. How are you all doing? Good. So I bring you greetings from the Zambia International Church of Christ. I want to teach you guys a little bit of one of the official languages out there. When I want to ask you, how are you all doing? You say, Mulibwanji. One more time. All right, give yourself a big clap. All right, so when I ask you, Mlibwanji, you say what? Bwino zikomo. Yeah, one more time. Bwino. So, Bwino zikomo. Okay, so now I'm going to ask Mlibwanji, then you answer Bwino zikomo. It's right there. So, all right, so Mlibwanji. All right, so how you all doing? you're doing bueno. So there's a little bit of Spanish going on down there in Zambia. Because when you ask somebody in Spanish, como estas, what do they answer? Buenos, right? So there's a little bit of Spanish going on down there. Yeah, but it is really great to be here. I really want to, first and foremost, just... I thank God for just this opportunity for me to be able to come over and just be with you guys. I know it's not the whole church, but just being with all of you here as my brothers and as my sisters, I just want to really thank God for that opportunity. And I just want to again just thank God for my friend Steve and Carol. You know, Steve and I, we go way back. Like he mentioned, I was reaching out on the streets trying to teach somebody how to reach out. And, you know, I saw this powerful-looking guy, you know, and so I thought, you know, let me master my courage and invite him to church, you know. And, of course, he was willing to come. It was a midweek service. It was a funny, funny situation right there. It was a midweek service, so I invited him over, and he said, okay, I can come, but can I ask a question when I get up there? I'm like, I think you can ask a question at any given point, you know. But I didn't know exactly what question he wanted to ask during the service. But well, he came upstairs, you know, he was able to ask his question during an equipping class, you know. And so one thing led to another, and now he was baptized. And he's just an awesome brother, great friend of mine, you know. It is funny how things have gone on. You know, he was once in my D group, then I was once in his D group, you know, and we just... We've kind of had that back and forth together, just preaching the word and just spreading the gospel down there in East Africa. You know, during his tenure as he led the church in Nairobi, he discipled me, and I was in a different part of the country. And just within those 8 years, we were able to start like 4 churches just, within that period. And so just God is using this man so powerfully. It is really great. He was on my lineup when I got married. Him and his wife, they were on our lineup, and it was really great just that for them to be part of our lineup. And thank God also that I was appointed an evangelist in 1995, and 2 months later they got married, and I actually did their wedding. You know, it's amazing. So they are such great friends. There's so much I can share about Steve, you know, and Carol, but... That's not what I'm here to share. I'm going to be sharing God's word. Amen? All right. So go ahead and turn your Bibles to Hebrews. Okay. All right. So am I supposed to point it there? This? Oh, okay. I'm not used to so many gadgets, so you'll excuse me if I get stuck a little bit. Okay. There we go. So, okay, that's a Sunday service. Don't worry, it was during Holy Communion, so this sister was really meditating over here at the corner, so she was not asleep. Yeah. So these are Sunday service, and we're having a great time over there. This is just another. Did it go on? Okay. Okay. Steve, this thing is not moving. Oh, there we go. Okay, that's another part of the, just the congregation, another side of the congregation. And so, this is John Ox. You guys know John Ox? John Ox, one of the teachers in the kingdom. The other day, he was in Zambia. So, this was a session on a Saturday morning. And so, amen. Those are the sisters, just part of the membership of the church. You know, the sisters, they were together. And so maybe, you know, there's some who visited the church here, so you could be knowing maybe Daisy or Mubanga, one of them, one of those, I'm sure you can be able to make out if you met them. And then that's the preteens and teens group. They're fired up. Amen. All right, so that is the first family. All right, so that's my family. That's my beautiful wife on my left over there. Her name is Jane. And then on my, just the girl in red is my daughter Jewel. And then in the middle right there is my bodyguard. That his name is Jason. And then on the other side, on the far left, that is Sheila. Sheila is our first girl, and she's 28 years old. And she's got a girl, our granddaughter, Michelle. So that's my family right there. So today I want to talk to us about staying in the race. Amen? You know, our walk with God and our relationship with God is like a race. And so we're going to be talking about staying in that race, because any race, as you all know, it's not an easy thing. You know, be it a marathon, be it 100 meters, be it whatever it is, a race, it's not easy to actually stay in the race. And it's very easy sometimes to actually fall by the wayside. And so in Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says in verse 1, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood." You know, the Hebrew writer was writing to Christians, of course, the Christians of Jewish descent, and the Christians here were facing a really tough time. You know, these guys were going through a rough time of persecution, and more was coming. You know, they faced public insults and persecution. They faced imprisonment and confiscation of property. You know, as a result, many of them were so discouraged to the point of wanting to quit the Christian race. You know, but the Hebrew writer is encouraging them to stay in the race. From chapter 1, as he goes on, of course, he brings out the idea that, you know what, God spoke to us in the past through prophets and dreams, you know, but in this time here, he speaks to us through Christ. Then he goes on to talk about Christ and really bring out the supremacy of Christ compared to Moses, compared to Melchizedek. And he goes on to speak about what was now going on in the church at that point. There was apathy coming in. People were not committed to God and to remaining in the Christian race. And therefore, he was trying to encourage them to get back in the race and continue. In Hebrews chapter 10, I'm going to read that passage, because it now summarizes exactly what the book of Hebrews was all about. So in Hebrews 10, I didn't put the scripture up there, but we can turn there in Hebrews chapter 10 and look at it together. Amen? So in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 19, Bible says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since, yes, sir. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the Most High, the Most Holy Place, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtains, this is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated us, an unholy thing, the blood of the covenant, that the blood of the covenant that sanctified them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you endured a great conflict full of sufferings. Sometimes you are publicly exposed to insults and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith and take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we are not, or rather we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. So this passage basically summarizes what the book of Hebrews is all about. You know, he's encouraging these guys, telling them Christ has done so much. He sacrificed once and for all, you know. I mean, it was yesterday we went downtown with my brother Michael, and we had a great time out there. And one of the places that we visited was the Civil Rights Center. And as you get in there, you understand the price of freedom. And I remember at some point, one of the quotes that I saw that has stuck with me, the quote says, freedom comes at a price. And Christ paid that price for you and I. And so the Hebrew writer is encouraging these guys, look, Christ has done everything. Why are you living the way you are living at this point? You know, you have the privilege, you have the confidence to enter the most holy place. You don't need what was going on in the past. Right now, you need to be confident enough to get into that holy of holies. And by so doing, live the Christian life. He tells them, you know what? You need to spur one another. You need to encourage one another. You should give up this idea of not coming to church. Because at some point, some of them had started missing church meetings. And as a result, they were not helping each other to stand firm in the faith. And so the Hebrew writer is encouraging them, you know, get back to the things that you did at first. You know, He tells them, remember, you know, remember those early days. You stood firm in the face of persecution. You know, you were mistreated. Your property was confiscated. Many things happened to you, and you stood firm. How come that at this point, you're starting to quit the race? You need to get back into the race and keep fighting. He says, we are not of those who shrink back, you know, and are destroyed, but we are of those who believe and are saved. And that's exactly what God would want you to hear today. I want to show you a clip here of one of the marathon champions. Actually, he's now the reigning world champion in marathon. So,
heading for the Brandenburg Gate. Here we go. The crowd's building on both sides. And he's winding up for the last few hundred meters here. And the Brandenburg Gate, those trademark columns, loom into view here for Eliud Kipchoge. And he's on his way to making history here in Berlin. Well, the two-hour barrier clicks by now. The Brandenburg Gate in sight. It's about 300 meters from the gates to the finish line. Eliud Kipchoge is going to smash the mark of Dennis Kometo, which has survived for 4 years, longer than the mark of Wilson Kipsang, whose 2013 mark lasted a mere 12 months. But what a glorious sight this is for Eliud Kipchoge. He must have dreamed of these moments. He must have gone through these sights in his mind. That visualization, the glorious Brandenburg Gate. Into the shade for Eliud Kipchoge, into the sunshine now in more ways than one as the finish line lies ahead of him. He's going to break the 2 hours, 2 minute barrier. There's no doubt about this. The greatest performance in the history of marathon running on the male side. Paula Radcliffe's mark remains untouched by anybody so far. This is Radcliffe-esque. This is Eliud Kipchoge in supreme form, 150 meters to run. The crowds of the German capital roar him on. He smiles now. He knows the record is his. 202.57 by Dennis Kometo, his compatriot, was a magical mark. The first sub-203 clocking. This will be the first sub-202 clocking. And by a monstrous margin, he is going to break the world record. He comes towards the line, raises a sprint on those magical legs. And at last, the world record is his. How fitting is this? The Olympic champion is the world record holder. 201.40, unofficially there for Eliud Kipchoge. He breaks the world record by an astonishing margin. 1 minute and 17 seconds. Patrick Sang, his coach, his companion for run after run, race after race, year after year, hugs him there. And history has been made in Berlin 2018 in astonishing style.
Amen. See, it's great to be a champion, don't you think? You know, but you know, Eliud Kipchoge didn't just get there, you know, by hook or crook. He was raised by a single mother. Their source of livelihood was selling local brew, which, you know, if you come from where I come from, the local brew is illegal. And so they are always running battles, you know, for you to be able to survive in that trade. But his single mom, his mother raised him up just selling local brew. He couldn't proceed to high school because of financial constraints. But he got inspiration from his neighbor who was a runner as well. But he later became his coach. His first race to represent Kenya, he came a distant fifth place. But that did not stop Eliud Kipchoge. He kept running and improving. And through self-discipline, good preparation, working with people and thinking positively, he has made it this far. In 2003, he won the 5,000 meters gold in junior cross country. You know, he won the Hamburg Marathon in 2013, the London Marathon in 2016, and now he holds a marathon world record that he won just this last year in Berlin. And of course, this last year, he was named the International Amateur Athletics Federation Sports Person of the Year. Brothers and sisters, we can also be champions. We are in a race. Amen? We are in a race. But this race, the awesome thing about this race, you don't have to come number one. You just need to finish the race. You know, we are running this marathon race. Are we together here? And you know, we have some great cheerers. You saw when Eliud was running, and the cheerers out there, guys who have come from all over the place, you know, watching him run in Berlin. But also on televisions across the world, people were watching that race and cheering him up. Of course, the Kenyans back home, they were cheering him up. But you know, you and I, brothers and sisters, our cheerers are not just any other ordinary person. The people who are cheering us on are our heroes and heroines from chapter 11 of Hebrews. Abraham, Sarah, Jacob, David, Jephthah, you know, Esther, Mary, Jesus himself, the apostles, the early Christians who went through all the persecutions and stood firm and stayed in the race. They are the ones who are cheering you and I on. Are we together? But running this race is not easy. We will go through different struggles. You know, we live in a society that is so corrupted at this point. You know, nowadays what matters is your opinion rather than the word of God. This country is known for that, opinion, right? And of course, it's all over the world. You know, it's about my opinion. I think this. That's what I believe in. But what about what the Bible says? You know, for us to stay in the race, we've got to go by what the Bible says. Not by our opinions. Not by our opinions. Yeah, I know we go through different things. You know, sickness can actually stop you from running the race. And I know, even as a church, back home, we have so many who are going through different ailments. We have cancer patients. You know, we have those who are very devastating illnesses. And it's very hard to run the race when you are not feeling very well. But still, God wants you to keep running the race. Remember what Eliud Kipchoge says, that he says he got where he got with the help of other people. And we need each other in here. We need to visit each other when one is unwell. You know, we can get tired, and that can stop us from running the race. But God still expects us to keep running that race. You know, we can get weak spiritually, you know. But you know what? God still wants you to get back up and run the race. You know, we can get discouraged. You know, one of the tools that Satan uses to stop us from running the race is discouragement. You know, he will get your child not to do well in school. He will get you to have an issue at your workplace. You know, he can use anything to get you discouraged. You know, he wants you to stop running the race. But stay in the race, brothers and sisters. You know, do not be compromised by the worldly standards. You stay in the race. You know, we must master all energies and resources, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the master of our faith. You know, he ran the race. He endured the pain. You know, and you and I, because we are his disciples, we can also do the same. You know, there's some things that are, you know, about Jesus that are just so awesome. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 5 verse 7, that Jesus offered up prayers with loud cries, you know, to God. And he was heard because of his reverence, submission. He learned obedience. You and I must learn to obey in order for us to stay in the race. Let us imitate our Lord Jesus Christ. He had great confidence and trust. In Luke chapter 11, verse 41, talking, of course, about when Jesus came over to help raise Lazarus from the dead. You know, he just said a very simple prayer. But one thing he says in Luke 11, verse 41, Lord, I know you always hear me. He was that confident. I know you always hear me, but for the sake of all these people around here, you know, that's why he prayed. But Jesus had so much confidence in God and trust in God that he could say those kind of words. Do you have your trust in God? Because he is the one who's going to help you to stay in the race. Amen? He entrusted himself to his Father in 1 Peter 2, 22 to 25. He faced all kinds of insults, but he did not retaliate. Why? Because he entrusted himself to his Father. As a disciple of Jesus, you're going to face all kinds of things. You're going to face jeers. You're going to face, of course, the persecution we talked about earlier on, you know. But entrust yourself to Jesus. Entrust yourself to God. because he's the only one who can be able to help you stay in the rest. We too must work on our relationship with our Father. How is your relationship with your Father? How is your relationship with God? How much do you trust that He is, or He's got your back? You know, who do you trust in? Your boss? Your dad at home? Of course, you still need to love him, you know? Or are you trusting and putting your hope in God Almighty? He is the only one we can be able to trust in. You know, we have such a great example in Jesus. Let us fix our eyes upon him like we were encouraged in Hebrews chapter 12. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and he's the pioneer. He's the perfecter of our faith. Are we together, church? You know, as we run this race, brothers and sisters, things may not go as planned. We'll face many obstacles. But the question is, how will you respond? You know, this guy got up and kept running with a torn hamstring. When your spiritual hamstring tears up, are you still going to get up and keep on running? You know, the awesome thing that happened in that situation, his father broke through the security and came by his side and ran with him. You know, our Almighty Father is cheering us on. But he's also ready to come and lend a hand. Jesus, our big brother, is also cheering us on. And he's also ready to come by your side and run with you. The question is, will you endure through the pain and stay in the race, or will you quit? Because you will face pain. You will face obstacles. We will face all kinds of obstacles that will come our way. I can't even try and imagine what you are going to face or what you are already facing at this point. Because I don't know what you're going through, but God knows. And God is on your side. And God is still cheering you on. You know, you'll get knocked down, but will you get up again and keep fighting? It reminds me of a song that used to go like this. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to keep me down. Amen. That should be our song as disciples of Jesus. That yes, Satan, you're going to knock me down sometime, but I'm going to get up again because you're never going to keep me down. Will you endure through pain? You know, and it's very easy when you're going through pain, you're asking, Lord, how long will I continue to go through this? And God is telling you, not long, because on the mountain of the Lord, it shall be provided. Maybe there's something you're praying for and you're about to give up. But God is telling you, no, don't give up, because on the mountain of the Lord, it shall be provided. You know, you ask yourself, how long will I endure this pain? I've been unwell. I've been sick. I'm in pain. How long, Lord? And Lord is telling you, not long, because my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul went through that, you know, the thorn in the flesh. And he was like, you know what, Lord, take this away. 3 times he prayed. But God was like, you know what, my grace is sufficient for you. God's grace is by you, brothers and sisters. Endure the pain. Yesterday I was hanging out with Chloe and Michael, and we were talking, and we're just talking about what she's going through at this point. And she said something that really convicted my heart. She's just saying, you know what, as I go through this, you know, I have learned how God loves me so much that he could allow me to go through this, because there's so much that I'm learning as I go through this. Man, I was convicted, because I couldn't be saying the same thing. But she's looking at things positively. You know, she's saying, you know what, God's grace is sufficient for me. Can you say that? Can you say that? God's grace is sufficient for you. You ask, how long? And God is saying, not long, because this far the Lord has brought us. Amen, church. Where you are at as a disciple right now, God is the one who's brought you up to this point. You know, you could be in the kingdom of God for the last 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, and many other years. For many of us, we've been around for a while, and God has brought you this far. You know? And so the question is, if he has brought you this far, then why are you thinking that he's going to abandon you and leave you here? He can't. He's with you. He's going to come and help you run the race to the finish line. Are we together, church? You know, Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, as he neared his death, that I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. He stayed in the race. He kept the faith. You know, he finished. Rather, he fought the good fight. Are you fighting that good fight, brothers and sisters? Gwinnett, are you fighting that good fight? Are you staying in the race or are you about to quit? Are you keeping the faith? You know, you stay in the race when you are getting on your knees every morning to ask God, you know, to help you out. You are staying in the race when you are getting into the Word every single day, you know, learning from God, getting to hear His voice. You know, you are staying in the race when you are out there sharing your faith and inviting people to church or to Bible talk and helping them to get to know God. That's how you stay in the race. You stay in the race when you are loving one another and helping each other and spurring each other on towards good deeds. That's how you stay in the race. You don't stay in the race by gossiping and bickering and arguing. You know, that's not how you stay in the race. You don't stay in the race by getting up lazy, not wanting to read God's word, not wanting to hear what others have to say. You know, you stay in the race by confessing your sin, what is going on in your life, so that people can be able to help you out. Because we are here for each other, brothers and sisters. I couldn't be standing up here if it wasn't for the brothers and sisters in my life. You know, we need to talk. Let's get into the habit of talking to each other about what's going on in our lives. Are we together, church? You know, you stay in the race by agreeing to be helped, discipling. Let's forget about opinion, guys. Opinion is awesome, but let's make way for what God has to say in the word, in His word. You know, and God says we need to admonish one another. Doesn't He say that? We need to encourage one another. We need to teach one another. That's what God says. So let's be there with each other in our discipling relationships, in our Bible talks, in our family groups. Let's help each other. That's how we're going to stay in the race. That's how we're going to run to the finish line. So brothers and sisters, I'm here to encourage you through the book of Hebrews that you know what? The race has been marked out for us. You need to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run this race with great perseverance. Meaning it's not going to be easy, but we can make it to the very end. Let's run to the finish line, my brothers and my sisters. You know, pray for us back home in Zambia. You know, we are looking forward to those who want to come and visit. Please come over. We're going to have a good time together. But we love you. You know, we are praying for you every single time. Steve and Cara are great friends of ours. I can't wait to bring my family over so that you can meet them as well. But it is just great to be here. Brothers and sisters, let us run to the finish line. Let us stay in the race. God bless.